neither walking the walk or now talking the talk. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principal Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Good to be back with you here in my studio. Hope things are as good down in your studio as they are here.
Well, at least it's dry. That's the big thing.
Same cannot be said here.
Well, I understand that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're recording this morning, and hopefully by the time you hear it this afternoon, you will have found a high and dry place to be because we're supposed to get a lot of rain. But, Chuck, thankfully, though, in Ohio, we've got ways of holding back flood. But we may end up going the same way that some of our sister states have just now gone in trying to, shall we say, keep things rolling in their states. What we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is an article that comes out of, we're getting it from newsleader.com, but it was originally posted by Ben Pershing in the Washington Post. And it's an article that's talking about how the states of Virginia and of Washington have, well, if you read the headline, you could interpret it as they've committed heresy, Chuck.
Well, if politics were a religion, it would be a heresy, but politics is not a religion, although some people treat it.
I don't know. I probably could come up with all the basic elements of religion within these two parties, and yeah, it is their religion.
That's not arguable. We definitely could, and that's one of the problems that we have in this country, as you and I have been trying to point out now for going on 2 years.
We've been trying to point that out a lot longer, just we're doing it on air now.
That's right. We've been doing it on the air for a
while. Well, and really, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on here is that the states of Virginia and Washington State have done something that, well, most observers didn't expect to have happen. Now, maybe in Washington State you did. I'll give you that. But in Virginia, which is supposed to be a fairly conservative state, especially in the Republican Party, that basically what happened over this last weekend is that the Republican, well, many in the Republican Party and their leadership, and I think including the governor, Robert McDonnell, has checked off on and approved a package of tax increases in order to fund transportation issues. They've done what, well, you know what, Chuck, I hate to say it, but I think Ohio already went down this road because it included increasing the gas taxes. But there's also included sales tax increases and other levies for their transportation funding. Now, supposedly, Charles, it's against Republican orthodoxy to support tax increases.
Well, it's absolutely against Republican orthodoxy to support tax increases. And some are still holding to that pledge. Now, what's interesting is that what has become known in our circle as the squishes, those that seem solid on the outside and have a nice, soft, juicy center, are banding together and saying, we just can't do it without tax increases. Well, what they really mean is that we're not willing to cut certain things that we really don't need all that much because they're vote buyers in order to make our roads passable. Because that's what mostly this was about, was transportation needs. And in fact, as anybody who knows anything about how the taxes flow, a lot of stuff that gets collected for the purpose of maintaining roads never makes it there. Somehow it makes its way over to the general fund and gets used for all kinds of other things that are somewhat more popular, somewhat more flashy, that get you votes than actually just repairing roads, because it's amazing how drivers will sort of put up with bad roads for a long time, but some of these goodies that people want, they won't put up without. And that seems to be the problem here.
Well, there's numerous problems here, including the fact, as the Washington Post article points out, that Governor Bob McDonald of Virginia is actually eyeing a potential run at the nomination, Republican nomination for president. So basically, he signed off on an $880 million per year overhaul of the state's transportation budget, which included all of these tax increases. Now, Chuck, I'm not sure, but I seem to remember that the prevailing, and I'll use the term orthodoxy, since we're talking about in a religious connotation, The orthodoxy among Republicans is that you run as hard as you can to the right to get the nomination, and then you run as fast as you can back to the middle to secure the election. Now, it seems to me that Governor McDonald, when he got his playbook, actually had it turned upside down, and he's reading it backwards. So he's running as hard as he can toward the middle here, thinking that that's going to help him with the nomination for president in 2016.
Oh, well. That's exactly it. He's going to have to do something to attempt to recover his conservative credentials by the time it's time to run for president. And a number of people, a number of the Republicans who are rah-rah rather than those who pay attention, will be more than willing to grant special dispensations for that purpose. Now, let's think about this for a second. This thing is costing Virginia taxpayers about $880 million a year, all right? The population of Virginia is about 8 million. What does that tell you? That's $110 for every man, woman, and child in Virginia. Doesn't sound like much in a year, but you start thinking in terms of how much a month is now disappearing out of the hands of Virginians, and you start saying to yourself, okay, we're in a recession. Can we really afford to start subtracting that much money per month? And think about a family, let's say a family of four. Well, in most cases, dad's working a full-time job, mom's working a part-time job. That means that it's costing them almost $500 a year extra, that family, very close to that. Now, you divide that by 12, and you're at about $30 a month. Doesn't sound like much, but that's $30 a month that no longer can be spent on a meal out. It can no longer be spent at the local hardware store to do home improvements. It can no longer be used to buy, well, gasoline. So what do people do? They start cutting corners. And we're in the middle of a recession, aren't we, Barry? Last I heard.
Well, it depends on which pundit you talk to or which economist. We're either in the middle of a recession, we're on the front edge of a depression, or we're in a great recovery.
Yeah, the great recovery that in which no jobs are being created.
Exactly.
And no jobs are being created is because people don't have the money to spend. And there's the bottom line, Barry. People aren't going to be buying certain luxury items. Where do you normally cut when somebody comes through and raises taxes?
Well, you cut from your social welfare net, supposedly.
Oh, no.
But if you're talking about somebody raises your taxes on your family, where do you cut? Well, you do without certain items, or you don't engage in certain recreation, or you there's a lot of things you have to cut.
Yeah, you don't buy a television set. We can get by with this old 20-year-old model that's sitting here on the thing. We can get by with that.
Right.
You don't buy entertainment items. You don't go out to dinner. You see a little gadget in the store that might help you do this or that or another thing. Well, can't afford it. And multiply that in a community. And for instance, I live in Westerville. The population here is about 40,000. And again, you take a four-member family and around 400 and some odd dollars a year and multiply it by 10,000.
Yeah, that's pretty big numbers.
That's a significant ding out of the local economy. And that happens everywhere in Virginia now. So yeah, I would predict, Barry, that this is going to become an issue. And the way it's done in Virginia is probably the way it's going to be done in Ohio. And that is, we're not really raising taxes. We're restructuring the tax system.
We're changing where the loads are on the tax system. Yes. Well, but there's been a bit of a pushback on this. I mean, you've got the bloggers, obviously. Conservative bloggers are all upset about this because Republican leadership basically had to go to the Democrats to get enough votes to pass this. Well, what a surprise. But the point is that, and I quote from one of the bloggers, says that every Republican statewide official and most legislators were elected on a promise not to raise taxes. And he says this bill, that's the spending package that they just approved, erodes the credibility of all future candidates and the ability of voters to hold said candidates accountable. Well, you know, it's interesting here, Chuck, because I think he admitted something that maybe he wasn't trying to admit, and that is that, you know, he says it erodes the credibility of all future candidates. Well, are you saying that because somebody broke their promise, if somebody else makes a promise, then they're planning on breaking it? Okay, possibly, because human nature is what it is. But it's that kicker of the ability of voters to hold said candidates accountable. Listen, if a voter is setting on just looking at what a group said, well, this guy signed a pledge, well, that's all great and well, but if that's the farther they go in investigating a candidate, we've got trouble to start with. Take a look at a candidate's record on how they voted, like if they were on a county commission or they were a township trustee or they were a city councilman. You know, if you just do a little bit of homework, you can figure out whether or not this quote-unquote no tax pledge that they're signing once they've risen to state or national prominence is actually worth the paper that they sign their signature on.
Well, this is a major problem, Barry, because people don't do the research. Of course, that's why groups like us are here, but we have a small following on a local radio station, and we have a small following on our podcast. How many people in the quote-unquote conservative movement are actually holding petitions' feet to the fire? Politicians.
Yeah, well, I honestly, very few. They may think that they are, but ultimately what you end up getting is what you saw in the last election cycle. Oh, we can't have Mitt Romney. He's horrible. We'll go out and work against him. Well, Romney's your nominee. Well, we got to get behind Governor Romney. He's the greatest thing since sliced bread. All of those things he did in the past, he won't do those in the future.
Well, Barry, that didn't actually work out very well, because I'll be quite honest, if the nominee had been any number of candidates other than Romney, I really believe that a number of people would not have voted with their feet and sat home and not voted.
Right.
Because that's exactly what happened. Let's just say that Romney did not generate much excitement, and there were no excuses that could be made for the fact that the candidate was the guy who helped design the program that Obamacare was based on. And yet he was going to repeal Obamacare. I always laughed at that one. Really? You're going to get the guy whose model it was based on to sign the bill to repeal the thing? No, I don't think you're going to get that. And I was told over and over and over, we got to get Romney elected so we can get this bill repealed. And I'm like, I laughed. Like, seriously, you're insane. And the fact is that there was a slight insanity there. And this is part of that fanatical viewpoint that we've been talking about. You know, it's sort of cultic. Some people look at politics cultically, as if we're actually going to be saved by some politician who's going to do this and that and another thing, and the Republic will suddenly right itself from its position of listing very far to the left. Well, that's not going to happen. It took 200 and a fraction years to bust it. It's going to take that long to fix it.
Well, and I don't think we're going to be fixing it with politicians like Bob McDonnell, who is interesting because he's getting praise from Democrats over this, calling him, quote, a realist on the need for additional revenues, unquote, and then, quote, that he's encouraged consideration of revenue sources, read taxes, that were not thinkable statewide even 5 years ago. So in other words, possibly, again, I think that McDonald is using the playbook upside down. He's trying to run to the middle first, hoping that by 2016, that the impact of the tax increases will have been absorbed enough by the populace that they'll forgive and forget because, well, you know, they fixed that pothole over on Route 197.
Well, yeah, until you figure out, if you do the math like I just did,
yes,
and you figure out that fixing that pothole cost you $400 this year, you might not think it was worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the problem, Barry. People don't do math. And in fact, people don't really even know how much tax they pay. And this is the problem that you run into with withholding. I've said for years, and people aren't thinking about it this way. They think, oh, the government gave me some money back. Well, that was your money in the first place, and you shouldn't have had to pay it in. But the fact is that, let's say you make $50,000 a year. Do you actually make $50,000 a year? Do you ever have that fraction, that weekly fraction of that $50,000 in your hands the entire thing?
No.
You never have it.
No, not at all.
Because the government steps in and immediately grabs their pound of flesh. The state steps in and grabs their pound of flesh. And the city steps in and grabs its pound of flesh. So you are actually making, your real salary is in the 30s. That's the bad part about this. Nobody says, hey, you can't say I make this amount of money if you step in and I never get the benefit of it. And that's exactly what happens. You never get the benefit of the amount of money that you make. So really what you're saying is, if you make $50,000, well, I actually make $35,000 and the government makes $15,000. People don't think that way.
And if we keep going in the direction we're going, those numbers will be inverted.
Oh. Well, listen, part of the big push at the federal level, if you think about it, is to do just that.
Indeed.
to do exactly that. Well, I'm looking at the clock, and we are out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.